I can't believe he said that either. But what did you expect when you tuned in? Here's Gruber.
Welcome back to it on a Tuesday. Live from Albion, Michigan, a town that has rolled up its sleeves, both privately and along with the benefit of some government programs and some opportunities, because people said, you know what? We want to rebuild this town. It will not be forgotten America much longer. We're going to rebuild this Main Street and bring it back. And, of course, a cornerstone for Albion, for other people that live around the state of Michigan. You always know Albion because you know there's a college there. So that's what I've always known Albion to be. And the president of the college is Maury Ditzler. He's been here for about 5 years. He's sitting down with me here to talk more about it. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You've made a career out of touring small campuses and colleges and so forth in the Midwest and elsewhere. How did you end up here?
You know, I came here because I love small towns and I love small colleges. I think they're both the backbone of America. One of my faculty said that if America is a river, the headwaters are these small towns. Small towns are healthy. America's healthy. If small towns are healthy, the small colleges they host are going to be healthy.
As a general rule, the fishing in the headwaters is always better than the main river.
I hope so.
Just as a rule from an outdoorsman, just so you know about that. But let's talk about this town. Over the last 5 years, you've seen a transformation of this community. People like Dr. Bill Dobbins taking the lead here and taking a downtown that, like many towns around the state or around the country, have dried up, if you will. But there's a resurgence here. There's an energy here. And obviously the college has to be one of the pillars of that development or redevelopment. Make sense?
It does. One of the things that we understand is that a small college's competitive advantage is its faculty and the interaction those faculty have with students. If the faculty live 50 miles away because the town has fallen on hard times, they're not going to spend as much time interacting with our students. They're not going to walk their dog on campus on Saturday morning, not going to come back for a volleyball game, not going to be at the play. And if they're not there, they don't see the students. If they don't see the students, they don't talk about that paper due tomorrow.
All right. So as you have made your career in these smaller towns in America, how important is it then as you see Albion making this comeback, the new hotel, the refurbished theater, the brew pub down the street, all of these different things that become places where the professors can meet the students or, you know, and talk to different people and interact and become part of the community, become vested, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so you've seen this change. And what changes have you seen and how important are they to you?
Yeah, well, I would say they're existential for a college like ours. You know, we get back to this idea that faculty need to live close to the students. And if you don't have public education, you don't have health care, you don't have culture, you don't have places to live. If faculty aren't going to live in town, if they don't live in town, our colleges don't thrive. As a matter of fact, maybe they don't survive. And these colleges, these small liberal arts colleges that teach understanding and teach people how to listen to each other are really at the backbone of democracy. And even though our colleges educate maybe only 2 or 3% of America's college-going population, I think they're so crucial that if they don't thrive, democracy is not going to do well.
Fascinating that you would actually teach people to communicate and listen to each other. They still do that. I'm shocked to learn that. I mean, in this environment, you would wonder who listens to anybody anymore, right? They don't. Everybody shouts each other down.
And we call it serendipitous learning. A student isn't going to a class. She doesn't think that she's going for a lesson. She's walking across campus. There's a faculty member that she had 2 years ago.
Sure.
They talk about the political debate. Pretty soon they sit down on a bench. They're from different political viewpoints. But at the end of the conversation, maybe they both learn a little bit about changing their mind. And then there's a phrase I love called called sympathetic imagination, meaning that I may not believe you, but at least I'm going to understand why you believe what you believe.
Yeah, you have to allow for people's doubts, right? I mean, that's part of the conversation. You have to allow for the other person's point of view and allow for their doubts. So when you look at this town, though, obviously, as you pointed out, with 3% of the college graduates coming from places like this, there's a lot of competition out there. So when you're competing for students and for their business, if you will, putting a new hotel in town, it's important. Putting a new storefront over here, extremely important. I mean, it helps you, as the president of the college, say, we can do this, we can attract more students, and here's how it works. It becomes a very positive bit of momentum, doesn't it?
Yeah, indeed. If you don't have a place for parents to stay when they visit, you're not going to recruit out-of-state students.
Right.
And with the demographics changing in Michigan, fewer high school graduates, it's hard to thrive if you recruit only from Michigan. It's also you lose that wonderful diversity of people from all over the country getting together and sharing their cultures.
And sitting on that bench, in the park and exchanging ideas about different points of view, which is important, obviously.
You got it. We need to put you to work on our public relations.
I'm doing the best I can, you know. I mean, I'm sitting here with Dr. Maury Ditzler, the president of Albion College. So what does Albion College look like 5 years from now or 10 years from now? As this town continues to come back and you see Main Street start to thrive again and you see, you know, just the new street and new everything, because shiny new is attractive to students. Where does that take the college? Does the college become larger? Does it become more dedicated, specialized? Where do you go?
We probably don't become larger than we were 10 or 15 years ago. We become a little larger than we are right now. 2,000 is a good number of students for a college of our size. Still allows that personalized interaction, still allows students and faculty to know each other, not only when they're in the class, but know each other a couple years later. On the other hand, if you're much below 2,000, fixed costs run your price per student up too much. So I think we're going to be a little bit larger, but what I'm most excited about is I think we're going to do a better job of educating young people. There's lots of challenges in America out there, whether or not it means creating better doctors or better statesmen. We've got the Gerald Ford Institute on campus, and I hope the Gerald Ford Institute gets stronger and stronger, because the understanding and the ability to reach across the aisle that we saw with Gerald Ford is so important in America. I sense that young people, Americans all over this country, are reaching out to that kind of understanding that Gerald Ford preached to us when he was one of our trustees, and that we still try to carry on at Ford Institute.
I think one of the lessons that Albion, the college, and the community can share with the rest of the state and the rest of the nation now is that revitalizing of forgotten America, because we're seeing it here. We're seeing people that are vested in this community. We see people like yourself that come here and say, we can do better, we can rebuild this town, and I think it becomes a model for others. And yeah, I think that's something your students take away.
Yeah, we say Albion is America, and, you know, we say Albion's America because there's 1,000 small towns like this out there. And if our young people go away with the belief that this small town can bounce back, they're going to take that with them wherever they go around America.
Right. That's the point. I think that's the lesson that, and whether they're, you know, involved with that in the future, they always have that mindset of, you know, when I started at Albion, it was here. And when I left, it was up here. It had moved up several notches. And then, you know, you went from 1,400 students to 15, 16, back to 2,000. Yeah. Is that the future for you?
Well, it is. It is our future. But I'll add a little bit to your story. They're going to go away and saying that graduates that they know, people like Bill Dobbins, rolled up their sleeve and did something that was outside their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Bill started out delivering babies in town, and then he opened a factory and started making casters, and then he decided he needed to build a bakery and apartments downtown, and all the things that you know, we want our college graduates to do is say, if there's a problem, I can figure out to solve it. Even if I went to medical school, I can learn how to run a business.
Sure. If there's a problem, somebody needs to fix it.
Yeah.
Why not you? Dr. Maury Ditzler, president of Albion College, I greatly appreciate you sitting down, and we wish you only the best going forward.
Thanks for coming to visit us.
Thank you so much. Revitalizing Forgotten America, that's the lesson today on the Steve Gruber Show. We appreciate you listening. If you miss any interviews, go to stevegruber.com, click on the Podbean for podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll be right back.
The average construction worker is earning from $16 to more than $30 an hour plus benefits and overtime. And right now, construction workers are in high demand here in Michigan. Fixing the roads, building bridges, commercial projects, and new infrastructure are all part of the big picture. Plus, construction jobs are cool. Find out more about the big opportunities here in Michigan. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner now. Start building Michigan's future and yours today.
Hear that? Isn't that a beautiful sound? Well, DTE Energy is committed to keeping them safe. That's why we monitor the natural gas system 24/7, 365. Upgrade and inspect thousands of miles of neighborhood gas lines. And do over 300,000 safety inspections every year. Because to us, safety is all about your peace of mind. And it sounds like this. DTE Energy. Know your own power. While most costs keep going up, the price of natural gas has gone down. When DTE Energy's natural gas costs dropped, we lowered your rates too. We buy when costs are low and store it to keep prices stable. Overall, natural gas bills are down 30% over the last 10 years. And that should feel. Find out more at dteenergy.com/price. DTE Energy. Know your own power.
Michigan residents are targeted for identity theft more often than the rest of the country. It's a fact. But did you know the Michigan Chamber has an identity theft protection solution designed to help Michigan Chamber members and their employees? It's true. And it's the best data protection you can get today. There are only two kinds of people: those that have had their data stolen and those that will. The Michigan Chamber is here to help you defend yourself and your employees from getting robbed. Go to stevegruber.com. Click on the Michigan Chamber logo to learn more and get started. Protect yourself with the Michigan Chamber Identity Theft Protection Solution.